So how do we encourage is the reason why we started this Bible study. Okay. And to understand what it means to encourage, because today, like I said, we usually do it based on how a person feels. Now, once again, I'm trying to do this every time we start on this, God willing. At the very top, I want you to look at where we understand the two lines I have there means to encourage also means to urge, comfort, motivate, and remind. But the part under it says encouraging based on self and others is wrong. And I put that in capital letters. It must be based on God. And hopefully y'all get that as a theme for everything. Based on God means let me see how God says I should do it. And you'll check on it. And what you'll see is a lot of ways we just, if I do it based on, and using the examples again, based on me, you'll hear me say things like, don't care what anybody else says, I'm proud of you. And as long as I'm happy with you, that's all that matters. Right? That's based on me. Very wrong. Very dangerous. Because you're doing it hoping I'm right. That my happiness in you is right. And I can be happiness in you in hell. To hell. Okay? Based on you. How do you feel about it? As long as you're happy with it, that's all that matters. Who cares what all the people say? So that's based on you. Once again, what if you're wrong? You're headed to hell. You might feel good about it. You won't feel good once you get there. You understand it? Based on God, He is the way, the truth, the life. Is it based on what God says? Absolutely. Then you go, I don't care what anybody else says. In fact, I don't even care what I feel about it. Do you understand that? It says it's fully based on God. In fact, turn in your Bibles, and then we'll get back to this, to where we started from. If you go to, I think it's 1 Corinthians, and watch what Paul is inspired to say here, starting in verse 3. He starts in verse 3, 1 Corinthians 4. He says, I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Okay? He's basically saying, if somebody comes and says, we are convinced this is what you are, meaningless to me. Okay? And then he says, indeed, I do not even judge myself. Why? He says, my conscience is clear. In other words, I feel good about me. He said, but that doesn't make me innocent. Did y'all just see that? Okay? He's saying, first of all, I could care less what humans say. I care less how I feel. He said, it is the Lord who judges me. Did y'all catch that? So when it goes to encouraging, I have to keep them on the right path. I don't want you encouraging me based on you, making me feel good in you. That's why he said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, you're a stumbling block to me. Because Peter could have ended up making him feel good that he loved him so much that we're not going to let this happen to you and take him off the path. Did y'all catch that? You understand that? If I encourage you in wrong, like right now you have churches that are encouraging people who are in wrong types of marriages, you know, same-sex marriage, and they're encouraging y'all love each other and y'all are this and y'all are great and so on and so forth, and they're encouraging them in wrong. They might feel good about you being there and supporting them and showing them, but you're still wrong. Y'all see the problem with that? Okay? So encouragement is to keep them on the right path. Okay, that's why it has to be based on God. That's where Him being the way is such an important part of that. Amen. Okay, so we got a chance to go through it. We got to see encouraging one another. The main source of encouragement is God. And where we last left off is when we praise God, He encourages us. Right? Okay, when we praise God, He encourages us. Psalms 138 verse 2 says, I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. Now, do you see what he's giving emphasis on? The glory is about him. Praise, once again, it isn't because God's sitting up there going, I need this for my ego or I'll start feeling insecure. Do you understand it? We praise God, once again, to shine Him to others and to acknowledge we know where He's at. Does that make sense? When I acknowledge I know where He's at, then He can truly lift me up. He can truly do what He's supposed to do with me based on Him. Because a lot of times we go to God based on us. You should have done this by now. I'm a good person. I don't understand why you didn't give me this. Me, me, me. You understand that? But what, like, you notice this whole verse here is putting a lot of emphasis on him. You hear, O Lord, the desires of my afflictions. You encourage them, he says, and you listen to their cries, defending. I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong one. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. You know, she keeps talking about God and the characteristics of God. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. It's you. It's all about you. Do you understand? It's me trusting in you, depending on you, and looking to you. So we're putting that faith into God. The encouragement we receive from God should lead to our unity and selflessness. Does that make sense? Okay? So we have to, the encouragement we receive from God, then it's given to others. Philippians 2, 1 to 4 says, if you have, and I put that in bold to show you he's starting to say, if I don't have this, the rest of this is going to be meaningless to me. If I'm going and I try to godly encourage you based on me, I'm missing this. Okay, so he's going to show me how I know when I have God. Before I can do you any good, I have to have God. Does that make sense? Okay, even though two people come to your house and have the same thing to encourage you, if I don't have the right tools, which is God, to give to you, I can't encourage you. Cannot. I might make you feel better. That's not encouragement. That's fleshly change or whatever you want to call it. It might even be desire, but it's not in a godly way. Watch what he says. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit. Do y'all see what he's doing this here? What are y'all noticing he's doing here? Not only what we need to have, but he's giving the element and where it's from. Did y'all catch that? He says, any encouragement from being united with Christ. Did y'all catch that? Not just any encouragement. Any encouragement from being united with Christ. Any comfort from his love. Y'all see this? Any fellowship with the Spirit. If any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Okay? So you're going into this saying, I got to encourage them. Because first of all, if I have the mind of Christ, I now have to encourage them to have the same mind as me, which is the mind of Christ. Does that make sense? I don't go there to encourage them in themselves. I don't go there to encourage them in me. I go there to encourage them in Christ. But I get the encouragement from united in Christ, from comfort in his love, fellowship of the Spirit, and then it's his tenderness and passion. All these are from him. And that's why I have my relationship with him is so necessary in order so for me to comfort you, to encourage you, and vice versa. If not, you'll give me emotional comfort, intellectual comfort, cultural comfort, or ignorant comfort. Do y'all get this? Okay? You'll give me all these other things which are not comfort or encouragement at all. All of those cater to the flesh. So at the moment, I might feel better, but I won't be better. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay, you'll see how this works. And this is the key in this. And then he goes into exactly how to do it. Verse 3, do nothing. Everybody say nothing. No. Nothing includes what? Everything. It says do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. I've explained this over and over again, and hopefully this is deep in everybody's head. Selfish ambition, in a simple way, is saying do nothing with you as the sole purpose. Absolutely nothing. Never. Never, ever. And vain conceit. Never do anything based on how you see it. Based fully on how you see it. Never. Never, ever. You get that? Okay? And that should be the thing that always engages us and makes us focus on, okay, God, I need to get your answer, even though I feel strong about this.
So do nothing out of selfish ambition. So how do you take vacation that's about you?
Ah, good question. You take vacation based on him. Because remember, he says to give us everything. In 1 Timothy 6, he's given everything for our enjoyment. Do you understand that? However, I make sure I don't go, like if I just go on vacation based on me, that's going to be the problem. I'll go on vacation and first of all, I'll go there with an attitude and they have to make sure they get my food right and I got to go to the right place and it better be the right weather. And if I don't have the money, I'm going to get the money. All of it will still be how I'm doing the money, how I'm dealing with food, how I'm dealing with other people. If I can go at all, will all be based on him, what he allows me to do based on him. You get where I'm coming from? So it's fully based on him. And that's why when I do stuff for me, even when I eat, remember it says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. So then, because he allows me to eat, I eat with the understanding of, man, this is from God. In fact, you see Christians not waste a thing. You see Christians eat and go, how can I eat, not eat this, knowing there's people starving, when I know God blessed me with this. But we allow our taste buds, God, I really don't like this. And we'll waste it. So we did it based on us. But I don't like it. And we let our kids do it. I don't let them eat anything they don't want to eat. So we're raising up our kids with based on them. Now, I made it for you to eat. Now, there's nothing wrong with me having the variety. Do you understand that? But when I get in front of me, I eat it. Do you understand that? Unless I'm allergic to it, unless I can't take it. You got where I'm coming from? Or causing somebody to stumble. It's always focused on him. So when I go on vacation, I give him the glory that I am. But if vacation is hindered by me ministering, I make sure my attitude is always focused on him. I'm always thinking, you see where I'm coming from. So whatever you do, do it to glorify him. So no, you don't do vacations based on you. No, you don't eat your food based on you. No, you don't do your clothes based on you. You do it, do everything based on him. Okay, so he didn't tell you not to do stuff. He says the purpose for you doing stuff. Does everybody get that? So you can do, remember he says everything is what? Permissible. What does that mean? I can do anything I want. You understand it? So that's his Bible says it. But not everything is what? Beneficial. Ah. So as a Christian, through wisdom, I'll go, so will I do this? Maybe not. Because this might hurt me in the Lord. You'll even look at a vacation and go, I probably shouldn't go here based on God. It's probably not a good place for me as a Christian or just me as an individual in my walk with God to go. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Okay. Did it help? Okay, praise God. Good question, too. I mean, it's something that we miss out. So when he says do nothing out of, this is the purpose, not the action, necessarily. The purpose will dictate your actions. So when he says do nothing out of selfish ambition of vanity, so the whole purpose can't be me. And the whole purpose. So you'll see a true Christian be put in a position to where they might have to cancel a vacation that they were planning for 2.5 years. God will do that to say, are you doing it for you or are you doing it for me? Think about that. You may have planned it, you put the money down, something major happened. People need you. Now, what decision do you make? But I've been planning this and I've been doing this and I've been, right? Because now we do it. And they'll just have to wait. Or do we go, I'm probably gonna lose my deposit, we'll have to plan something else, maybe we'll go to Strawberry Square for vacation. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, somebody else could have used this money, I found out, and it's all I have, but it's that's where God, and God will do this to check. Remember, he says he does stuff to test to see if your faith is really in. But we get this, but I deserve, and I should do that, and that's the key. Purpose. Think about your purpose. He's going to have you be in some certain situations to say, are you really serving me, or are you just using my name while you serve you? Keep that in mind. Okay? Okay, so going to do nothing out of selfish ambition of vain conceit, because he even shows, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And humility, always saying, humility is an understanding of I am no better than anybody else. Do you understand that? But then it says, each of you should look not only at your own interests. So your interests are included, it just can never be fully about yours. It says, but also the interests of others. So I'm putting them ahead. I'm showing that love. I'm recognizing, well, I do like, you know, going to this restaurant, but where would y'all like to go? You understand that? And I'm not going to go, I want to go to eat blah, blah. And if y'all don't want to go, food on y'all. You understand where I'm coming from? It'll be like, okay, I'll go. You know what I mean? Hey, would y'all mind going here? You don't want to? Okay, that's fine. You see where I'm going with this, okay? Where there's nothing wrong with you putting out there what you would like to do. Don't just always be the one to go, oh, I'll go wherever you want to go, and then say, I really didn't want to go there. And you could put that out there, but then when they say, oh, I'd rather go here, okay. Y'all get this? These are ministries, and this is displaying God. And this is an encouragement when they see you be selfless. Does that make sense? Where you never get in the way. You know what I mean? I'm going to show you another way we can do it. Have you ever said, I don't mind, and when you go there, you're looking like, I can't stand this food, and I don't know why I'm here. yourself, you're still selfish. Even if you're like, no, I gave in and I went there. No, you went made there, but let them feel it, that they'll never take you there again. You understand? Huh?
You need
to show it. And you display, I mean, they feel every ounce of you doing it. Okay, I'll go with y'all. That's all right. And you get it. I really don't want anything. I ain't need anything. That's okay. I'm fine. I'm really. They're just like, oh, you know what I mean? Still, selfless, and they never know self played a part. You can feel, I don't like this food. You can feel that. But on the outside, you'll order something, you'll eat it, and you'll tell your wife, baby, I hate this. You understand? But you're making sure, I don't want this to be a stumbling block to anybody. I don't want anybody's enjoyment to be taken away from what I'm doing. You get where I'm going? Okay? Selfless is exactly that. Self will not get in the way at all. Make sense? Questions? Everybody with me on that? Okay. Praise God. So, then when we encourage, we are just to be instruments used by God because encouragement comes from God. Very important. It says in Romans 15, 5 through 6, it says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement, y'all see that? So we see where it comes from, give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do y'all understand that? So I now, this is why as a Christian, first and more, this is why mature Christians are to encourage immature Christians to grow to become mature Christians so they can encourage immature. Y'all see, it should be a vicious cycle. But if we're all immature Christians, we get nowhere. How do I know if I'm maturing? Due to my relationship with Christ. And it'll be in how I do everything. Everybody say everything. Okay, that's maturity. I'll apply it to everything. How do I know? Romans 12. No longer conforming to the patterns of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of my mind. That's with everything. Amen? Unfortunately, we bring some to God. I'm giving you 20% of me. And some of us are so busy patting ourselves on the back, I'm not what I used to be before I was a Christian. Okay, 20%. God's like, you might as well stay the whole 100% dirty. So if I gave you a whole glass of mud, but if I took 20% of that dirt out of it and gave it back to you, would you drink it? No. It's still corrupt, isn't it? Y'all see where I'm going with this? You're still corrupt. If you don't, remember he says, if you don't deny yourself, you cannot be my disciple. He's basically telling me, you either give all of you or you give me absolutely nothing. Everybody get that? Okay? So we understand that an encouragement is through our relationship with him and it's displayed. Now, look at the major ingredients of encouragement. The Bible gives us those. The foundation of our encouragement must be our faith. Why must it be our faith? Why must it be our faith? Why is the faith going to be one of the major encouragements? Major ingredients to encouragement. Yeah. Because what? Well, it's believing in God. Right. Because faith comes from God. And our way we get to God is through, which gives us, yes, there you go. Okay, thank you. Remember, the only way we get grace and get to God is through faith. You know what I mean? So we go through faith, he gives us encouragement. And as it says here in Romans 1, 11 to 12, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Now, what it doesn't mean is I sit there and I tell you stories of what God did for me and how you tell me stories of what God did for you. All that's great, and you do that. It means I'm going to encourage you with me in how I'm living for God, and you're going to encourage me with you in how you're living for God. Your gifts, your attitudes, your responses, but it'll all be based on God. I don't want to hear your happy stories of how you did something that made you feel good. It's going to hear about how you dealt with something based on God. How you were at work and things came up based on God. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? And I'm going to be encouraged by how you're dealing with your everyday life and your family and your structures based on God. That's faith. I'm watching your faith, not you. Make sense? Kind of.
So when you're showing how this is based on God, you have to give it scripturally?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because I know that there are other people say because of my faith.
Yep. And they'll ask, how was the body of your faith? And that's why you want to say, because it's written. You know what I mean? You see how I'm saying? You know how the Bible says blah, blah, blah. Well, today at work, I was this way. And it even shows faith. You'll go, what I wanted to do was strangle, blah, 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 blah. You understand that? However, I'm just saying, you'll say how you really feel, what I wanted to do. But due to the grace of God and what His Word says, I did what He said here. But unfortunately, y'all know that's what people think sometimes. They talk about strangling or getting mad at it or whatever. You may say, and you're taking the glory off of you of, no, I didn't do anything great, but I believed in Him. And His Word told me I couldn't, so I'm going to follow what He says. And somebody goes, man, praise God. They're hearing, they're encouraged because, first of all, you disconnected you. It wasn't about me because if it was up to me, this is what I would have done. But due to His Word, this is what I did. Do y'all get this? Powerful. Now, that person's encouraged. Like, oh, man, I was at work. And I wish I would have followed that. And thank you for that word of encouragement in His Word.
That actually has been happening to a coworker and I these past 2 weeks at work. And that exact thing. I'm about to strangle so-and-so. This coworker said to me, pray for me. So I prayed for that person. It's been like back and forth. We've been tag teaming each other.
Amen.
And doing that because it's been tough this last 2 weeks.
Amen. Nothing worse, and I gotta be careful on this, when you get the people that act like they're doing it right because they're right. Oh no, I would never do that to anybody. And I never think that. And I never, so you don't need God. Do you understand that? The truth is, I struggle. Praise be to God. So they give the glory to faith and to God, not to you. Sometimes we can come off so holier now. While we have all these thoughts going in us, we don't want you to think that. I want you to think I'm so holier. Instead of going, no, I do struggle with this. But it's because the word says is why I'm doing this. You know what I mean? The person asked me not too long ago. They were like, well, Pastor, don't you have any bad thoughts or anything? Like, I said, I have them every day. Every minute, every day. You understand me? I was like, but the word says, and I start giving scripture on certain things and why I do it. And I was like, I got to think on that daily, minutely, if you put it. Do you understand it? And I got to think on that and then react that way so that I'm spiritual and never fleshly. Y'all get that? You see how that works? Okay, so it's a pattern of how we do that. So he says that you and I may mutually encourage by each other's faith. Very powerful and very important. I don't want you to encourage me based on your story. And I don't want you to encourage me based on your story. I want you to encourage me based on your faith. Because stories usually come out. And this is why one church I used to go to, and then a lot of churches do, we used to do testimonies. And they were always feel-good stories. Problem with the feel-good stories, they were desirable outcomes. Do you understand that? But a faith story, if you read some of the stories of the Bible, weren't feel-good stories, but they were, but I depended on God. Do y'all get this? You know what I mean? The outcome doesn't always sound good, but you're hearing that person go through this storm, but the encouragement is, oh, praise God, you're going through that storm too? Amen. Do you get where I'm coming from? Now, I did this, and God gave me this, and everybody's saying amen. You're going, why is He giving me this? And because we make it about us. Instead of the word of, His word says this, so I keep looking at this. And I'm going through something, and I keep going. His word says all things work for the good for those. So even when I went through this disaster at work, it's for my good. Somebody else goes, wow. You understand that? It is for my good. Encouragement. Godly encouragement. Not, don't worry, it'll work out the way you want it. Just hang in there. That's you encouragement. Because you would see me 10 years later going, when is this supposed to work? Right? See the problem? Okay. So we encourage through faith. Now, encouragement must be done with two major things. So we see the faith is important. But then it says in 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 3, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage. And here's the other characteristics, with great patience and careful instruction. And those, you know how like an epithumia, they would add words sometimes? These words exist. The great is a Greek word with patience, and a careful is a Greek word with instruction. The great patience is not only patience, but I mean crazy patience, to where people will watch you, and you'll repeat it over and over. And when you do something with somebody, how many of us get to the point where you said something to somebody, they didn't hear it, and then you said it again, and they didn't hear it, and you said it again, and they didn't hear it. And you'll keep saying it until they hear it. Now, some of you say, I did it 10 times. That's great patience. No, great patience would be every time I say it just as lovingly and as compassionately as I said it the first time. Y'all get this? They won't hear, I said, what, are you not listening to me? What is the problem with you? Do you understand? And then I say it again. I was patient enough to say it 20 times. That's not, you lost the grip of the patience. The patience will be however long this takes. I'm going to be right here with you. No matter how I feel. Now, will I feel frustrated? Absolutely. But will I be frustrated? Ah, that's where that faith comes in. Because God has to do with me. Or else we should have got saved just like that. And not only get saved, mature just like that. Why am I going through the same stuff? Because Keith, you didn't get saved just like that. And mature just like that. So this one person now asking you this basic thing, and it doesn't seem like they're getting it, and they keep asking you the same question. What do? We go over it again. All right, let's talk about it again. Not, really? Really? They keep asking me the same question. They keep doing the same thing. God's like, oh, wait, so what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Are we changing the measurements here? Are we changing the judgments? Is that what you're telling me? Because I'll change how I'm doing you. Y'all get that? So, great patience. I'm going to keep telling you the same thing with the exact same love, with the exact same timing. Exact same. I'll make time. You want to talk about it? There was a person I told you. It was five years, and it was the sixth year they got it. And their joke was, why don't you just record this, and then when I call, play it to me. And I smiled and said, if you need me, God willing, I'm here. They call. I listen. I'd say the same thing. And this was a repetitious thing. It was the sixth time. And that conversation I never had after that. And they did get that. And there's other conversations I may have, but it was funny. It was that time where they called. They were like, I did this, and this is where it changed, and I heard you say it, and I knew what you said the Bible said, and I thought, and it was incredible how it works. Now, inside, they would call, and I'd be like, ugh. And I may have people go, you don't, just don't talk. No, I can't. The encouragement has to be great patience. Not only great patience, but then I got to be careful. The careful instruction, I want to say, I can assure you this time next year, things will work out. Keep doing what you're doing and it'll turn the way you want it to. That's not careful. Because nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Do you see what I'm saying? When I start making promises as if it comes from God and it doesn't come from God, not only am I not careful, I just set them up for a stumbling block. Y'all understand that? Careful instruction means I have to say what I know is in the Word. So careful is going to be why I study the Word. I don't just study the Word for me. I study the Word to prepare for you. For when you come to me and you tell me something, I'm careful to know, wait, the Word says this. I only can give them what the Word says. Does everybody get that? Okay, y'all see how that works? Okay, so he says, great patience, careful instructions. So we have to have faith, great patience, careful instructions. Questions?
Is all that just for talking to other Christians that you use the scripture and not when a non-believer comes to you with that same situation because the word is foolishness to them? So is it by our actions?
Exactly. So, and that's a good question because now with other Christians we can encourage with that way because it's spiritual and it's spiritually discerned. They'll get that. From a non-Christian, you try to keep it as surface or as not too much pearls as possible, but you want them to see it in your actions. You got where I'm coming from? And you still give them wisdom, and you still give them foundation based on God's word, but you be careful not to go, scripture says, you do it in a shrewd way. That's remember he said, the people of this world are shrewder with their own than the people of light are. Understand, this person's not going to understand it, but I have to get them to want to understand it. A big way is, he may put us both under the same boss. And the same boss may treat us both the way we both, you know, both bad. That's my how I encourage. I may never say a word to them. But they may look at me and go, how do you deal with it? I just got him to give him to God. I go, I feel the same way you did. I can't stand him. He's this and that. He treats me bad. But I keep praying. What do you mean? Y'all see where this is going? It starts a Bible study. It starts a seed planting. It starts a, I want to know. And access to the Holy Spirit. So the unbeliever, you're just trying to get them to see Christ in you. That's why our actions are so important all the time. If I go to a restaurant and I have an attitude and I'm acting up, I already blew it. But they didn't get my food right. It has nothing to do with your food. You know, it does, Pastor. Have you ever got steak that wasn't cooked? No, this is what I'm saying. It has nothing to do with you. It's, I don't know how this waitress is. I don't know how the other people at the table are. I don't know how this person are. They may all be watching me. How's he going to react to this difficult situation? Then I have to go, what does the word say? Right? I represent God. I'm an ambassador of Christ. right? I got to show love in every situation. I got to turn that cheek. I got to do this. Nothing wrong with you saying, I'm so sorry. Do you mind that this wasn't cooked in the right way, so on and so forth? You know what I mean? I make sure how I say it, what I say. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? No attitude, no real. You know what I'm saying? And everything I do, and that's a big ministry in many cases. Okay, so yeah, so we have to be careful when it comes to the unbeliever, and a lot of it's going to be shown in our actions, while with believers, it's going to be a whole lot more words, because you're giving them scripture. Amen? Everybody get that? Okay. So now, what should encouragement provide? Now, here's an example that he gives. One of the things we are to encourage one another with is the rapture to provide hope. Now, he gives this as an example, and this is a big example, and I'm going to show you how he says this. First, looking at 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, he says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. Now, that's very important for us. Encouragement still includes knowledge. So I got to encourage you with what the Bible says, not with what I think. Okay, there's a lot of times we'll say things about heaven that we don't read in the Bible. Instead of saying things about when a person dies, that is said in the Bible. Okay, I can tell somebody if you don't know Christ, and you know, if you don't stay within the Word, and if you're not staying there, you're going to head to hell. But I know if you stand firm and you accepted Christ, you're heading to heaven. You're going to be with Him based on what the Bible says. Now I can't go. What's going to happen once you die immediately? I can't go. Do you understand? I can give some verses on that, but I have to give knowledge of what I know. Let's be careful on not giving stuff that we don't know and we just think. That's why he says, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. This is about Christians he's talking about. He's saying, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left, excuse me, till the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage others with these words. Now, he gave us a whole story of what's going to happen during that rapture, and he's saying this is one of the things we need to talk about, something that the Bible clearly explains. Encourage each other with these words. Y'all get where I'm coming from? In fact, Revelation is an encouragement. The reason why it scares people is because we're living in the flesh. Spiritual people will be like, wow. You'll be encouraged by revelations. People who are not spiritual are scared by revelations. Think about it. You know what I mean? In fact, we could preach the word about death. Paul was like, I'm ready to die. He said, but I'm staying here with you. He said, you know, if I could choose to be with the Lord or to be with you, I'd choose to be with the Lord. He said, but I know I need to be here with you. You know, Paul was speaking of death like, man, I can't wait. But not in a crazy suicidal way. It was, I understand my job here. And I enjoy, you know, my love with my brother and stuff like that. But man, I can't wait to be with the Lord. As the Bible says. So we encouraged it with the stuff that the Bible says. So when it gives this thing and he's giving us a whole instruction of what the word is telling us, that's one of the main things we are to encourage each other with, what the word is talking about. Even when I go over, you hear me say 2 Timothy 3, and I say, mark this, there'll be terrible times in the last days. I'm actually reading that to encourage you. Well, Pastor, that's not really encouraging. No, no. If you're thinking of encouraging, of making you feel good, here's the problem. Think about this. Look at this verse, and if I was based on feeling, why wouldn't this make me feel good? The verse I just read, the 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Why wouldn't it make me feel good in certain cases? Huh? It's about dying, but there's something else in here. We'll be the Lord. That's still good. Yeah. Say, who do you mean just us? Yeah, he said the dead in Christ. He's talking about Christians. Don't we know and love people that aren't Christians? You understand? Now, if I'm emotional, this will probably discourage me. If I'm spiritual, it'll encourage me. Now, watch how it encourages me. Encourage me first, both for the brethren, for those who are still Christian, but it'll encourage me to minister. It'll encourage me to live my life with the right purpose. Y'all catch that? my children, I'll be more engaged on raising them up in the Lord than trying to make them fleshly happy. Right? Because I'm reading this, that encouragement makes me go, well, I'm headed there. Where are they going? Not to go, oh, well, it was me, they're headed to hell. It's, okay, so I really got to get my focus together. What do I need to do in ministry? Then I go back into the Word. It's an encouragement. You see how that works? It's not a make you feel good so you go, huh. It is a huh in one sense, but I got to really work and with an urgency because if they don't, do y'all understand that? Go ahead.
So can we miss
our
opportunities to minister to non-believers or children, whoever, because we're not always focused spiritually to display it. We're always trying to figure out how to say something to them.
That's one way we can't, or we're encouraged incorrectly. If you encourage me, you just gave me something to make me feel good, then I'm going to feel good. I'm good. Encouragement is a motivator, as well as a reminder, as well as a comforter. But the motivator is the first thing of, okay, I'm in Christ, and I'm going to be with Him forever, so this junk I'm going through down here is only temporary. However, the encouragement also is, I really got to get my act together because I got to play my part because there's so many out there, including ones that I love, that are not going. Encouragement is a motivator. So it pushes me, too. It makes me do it the right way. You got where I'm coming from. If I'm emotional, I'll just look to feel good or I'll emotionally go, please get saved, you're going to hell. And then people just leave me. If that makes sense.
So when you say snatch them out of the fire, that's just brother.
No, that's not my part. That is just brethren or somebody that you see at last moment to where you may have to. Let's say it's somebody that you, and it's going to be different in different situations. An unbeliever that you really see going off the edge where you say, I really need to talk to you. And you may have to go and bring them and say, in a loving way, you got to pray about it and really tell them about the word. You may really need to hit them because you say, this may be the last opportunity I may be able to present the word to them. Because you really see them going off the edge. You see somebody heavily using drugs. You see somebody getting ready to go off and go do something very dangerous. You know, some people even use it as this one soldier was going to go off to war and he wasn't saved. Do you have him coming from? So he says, before he went, I had to explain to him because if he went out there and he died, does that make sense? Okay. So understand this, but encouragement, and that's why I want to read this to make sure you understand it. When he says encourage and you really read this, sometimes you go, yeah, but it's only talking about Christians. And a lot of my family, not Christians. And then that's where we relabel encourage and discourage. Right? If you usually hear the word encourage, it means I feel better. Thank you. I felt better because you talked to me. Or discourage. I didn't feel good when you talked to me. That's how we usually label encourage and discourage. God enables it is a motivation or keeping going in Him. Right? So it's a comfort in Him that even though this world's all messed up, there's going to be a time where I'm going to be with Him forever. But it also is a motivation that now there are others that are on this path. I got to do my part to get them on this path. Make sense? True encouragement. We'll stop there. Any questions? All right. Let's pray.